You know what? It's great to be in the house of God. You know, when you guys were worshiping just now, right, we don't realize that we're breaking down walls. The enemy will put walls in your life and prevent you from receiving the word of God. So when we're worshiping, we're actually breaking down those walls. So that's great worship. You sing out with your voice, a joyful voice unto the Lord. Now, this morning, we're going to talk about building godly relationships. We spoke about it last week, and this is the second part of it. So, for those of you who do not know, I work out at sea on a ship. I'm a seafarer. I'm a navigational officer on the ship, which means I navigate the ship from one destination to another, from point A to point B. So, basically, in layman terms, I drive the boat. I'm a ship's driver, okay? Now, being a seafarer and working on ships, I like to talk about ships, as you probably already know. So, I'm going to start this morning with talking about ships. And you're probably wondering where I'm going with all this, but bear with me, and all shall be revealed. So let's have a look at the first slide. Now, this is the Northwest Storm Petrel. This is an Australian flag gas tanker, 105,000 tons. This is the ship I work on. So I drive this big boy. Yeah, it's pretty big, isn't it? Massive piece of machinery. It's amazing the amount of engineering and thought process that goes into building something like this and putting it out at sea. Now, operating and running a ship like this as well is a complex process. It's a lot of stuff going on to ensure that things run smoothly on the ship. Now, working on a ship is also hard work, eh? It's no walk in the park. So I usually work about 12 hours a day. I mean, not continuously, but broken up. 7 days a week, no off days in between. And some days when we are on port, my day could stretch up to about a 16-hour day, right? So operating a ship is a complex thing to do, and working on a ship is hard work. It's hard work, right? Now, I liken a ship to a relationship. You probably think this is a bit corny, but, you know. See, I used to wonder why there was a ship at the word of relation, at the end of the word relation, but you connect it together, relationship, right? It makes sense. Because relationships are complex and it takes hard work, just like working on a ship. You know, complex to operate and hard work. I'm not saying that all relationships are hard as well. You know, out in the open ocean, in the calm seas, you know, you feel the presence of God sometimes. It's great. It's great as well. So relationships are good. They're not bad. Now, let me have a look at slide 2. Okay, that's a ship in rough seas. So, the main priority of a ship's captain, okay, the ship captain leads the ship. Now, main priority of a ship's captain is the safety of his crew and the safety of the ship. He has to get the ship to the final destination. So, during the course of the voyage, right, there will be challenges and obstacles. Now, one of the main challenges out at sea for us as seafarers is the weather, right? It takes a sudden turn, and we find that from flat, calm seas, we're sailing out of port. The sea is flat and calm, and then we go into open ocean, and suddenly, you know, the wind starts to pick up, the waves start to pick up, the swell, you know, so you're walking around on the ship like normal, and suddenly it starts to get a bit shaky, and you're just moving all around, you know. It's not like I'm a drunken sailor or anything. It's not because we're drunk, but it's because of the motion of the ship. You see, a lot of relationships in life are like that too. You know, it can start nice and calm. It's all well and good when we sail out of port. But then when problems and obstacles come in the way, conflict arises, the relationships get a bit shaky, all right? So what does the captain of the ship do in those challenging situations? What does the captain do? He has to make sound decision to avoid the storm, right? He has to steer a course that will take the ship out of the storm's pathway. Now, sometimes we can't fully avoid the storm. We have to ride the storm. So you could just have to keep the ship out of the eye of the storm where the worst weather is experienced and just ride the storm on the edges of it, right, until the seas become calm. Now, if the captain does not make a good judgment call, his ship could end up on the rocks because he has not steered the right course. A ship will break up if it hits the rocks, just like that. That's a ship aground on the reef. It's hit the rocks because the captain failed to steer the right course. So it's quite detrimental, the effects. if you do not steer the right course. Now you here, you guys are the captain of your relationships. I'm going to say that again. You guys are the captains of your relationship. During the rough and stormy weathers of life, if you do not steer your relationships in the right direction, if you do not steer the right course, your relationships could end up just like that. Okay? Could end up just like that ship on the rocks, broken and disjointed. How do we avoid from getting to a situation like that? It's pretty messy, isn't it? That's messy. That happened off the coast of New Zealand, I think about 3 years ago. Okay? So this morning, I want to share with you guys some biblical truths, some strategies on how to navigate through relationships in your life, you know, with a focus on building godly relationships. All right, so next slide. Now, my first point, your vertical relationship with God will determine the outcome of your horizontal relationships. I know it all sounds a bit mathematical, vertical, horizontal, but it's simple, it's upwards. Your upwards relationship with God will determine the outcome of your outward or horizontal relationships with others. Okay? So it's good stuff, you know, when you think about this. You see, now, God has always placed great importance in relationships. We see the relationship in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Right? God created angels to communicate with. God created Adam and Eve to have a relationship with them. God created men and women for men and women to have a relationship with each other. Relationship of Jesus and his bride, the church. The church is the bride of Jesus. The relationship between believers in the body of Christ. The relationships that we have for each other. So we see life is made up of many different and unique relationships that God has established, right? Now, amongst all these relationships, I think the most important relationship is your relationship with God. The most important relationship is your relationship with God. That vertical relationship with your Heavenly Father. That upward relationship, right? It all starts with putting God first in your life. It all starts with putting God first in your lives, okay? Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all shall be added unto you." Putting God first in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added unto you. I go on to read Psalm 63:1. King David says, "O God, you are my God. I earnestly seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." You see, we need to understand why David wrote this psalm. You know, there's so much of emotion when he wrote this because his life was under threat. He was running away from King Saul. King Saul was trying to kill him. And David took refuge in caves at night, hoping that he won't be caught. You know, his life was under threat. So just imagine in that cave, he would have had restless nights, you know, thinking about what the morning brought. And when he woke in the morning, he praised God for his life. You see in that psalm, he praised God for his life because he had been spared another day. David earnestly sought God because of the security he found in God. He knew that God was with him. So we see that David had a strong vertical relationship with God. He wanted God to fill him with that source of strength in his afflictions. You see, we are not in times of David, okay? We are not living in caves. We are not hiding from the enemy. I mean, devil is the enemy, but I'm saying that we're not threatened, you know, but we can develop a similar heart and devotion of God. We can develop a similar heart and devotion for God just as David did. I want to demonstrate something to you this morning. I'm sure you're probably wondering what this is all about, but just bear with me. Chris, you want to just come up? Okay, so this jug here, right? Now, let me start with a cup first. This cup here represents you. This is you, right? So, now, in the morning when you wake up, what do you fill yourselves up with? How do you start your day? How do you refuel or energize yourself? How do you do it in the morning? Now, Okay, I suppose coffee, yeah. That's a good start, but I'm going talking about something a bit more deeper. Okay, so this jug here, okay, this jug here with water, right? This represents God, the Word of God. This represents the Bible. This is prayer. That is devotion. That is worship. That is commitment in church, serving God's house. Now, we need to fill ourselves up with this each day. So I'm going to fill this cup with the good stuff. What's this? Yeah. Keep pouring. That's the good stuff. Look at the good stuff. Once you fill yourself up, the good stuff is coming out, right? That good stuff flows out of you. That godliness, the prayer, the devotion, the worship. You know, you're filling yourself with this stuff each day. You know, the stuff of God. The good stuff. So we just fill it until it overflows and fill up the fish tank. It's a story about a fish tank as well. Get to that shortly. All right, that's great. Thanks for that, Chris. Now, this second cup here, okay? Can you guys see? This second cup is also you. This represents you. But there's a bit of a twist to this. This jug that you're filling up with represents things of the world, right? You know, self-consumed. It's all about me mentality. It's me, 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 you know. Anger, jealousy, idolatry, lust, things that are not of God. The list goes on. You know it. Now, when you fill yourself up with these bad and ungodly traits, let's have a look. So you're filling yourself up with these things of the world, you know, things that are not of God. And, you know, you see what's happening here. You look at that clean spirit that has overflowed out of your lives, that pure, clean spirit that is spreading into relationships around you. When you fill yourself up with things that are not of the world, I mean, with things that are of the world, when you fill yourself up, it contaminates things around you. It will contaminate the relationships in your lives. You see that? How fast it has taken for it to contaminate the good stuff in the tank. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for that. Look at that. It's spreading. See how that stuff is spreading. By the way, if you're wondering what that black stuff is, it's food coloring for my wife's pantry. Just look at that. The bad stuff spreading out and contaminating the good stuff. So we got to be careful what we fill ourselves up with. You know, what do you fill yourselves up with? The choice is simple. The choice is easy. You can see it as visually demonstrated here. We've got to make the right decisions. Put God first in your life and fill yourselves up with the good stuff. Thank God each morning when you wake up. Maybe some of you have busy lives. You don't have time to break out into this big one-hour prayer or whatever it is. You know, but thank God each morning when you wake up and start your day with Him. Invite God into your lives and set the pace for the day. It will set the pace for your day. No matter what the day may bring, we don't know what the day ahead brings for us. But if you put God first, right, even if it means sitting on your ledge of your bed and just praying for 5 minutes, you know, you are inviting God to come into your life and you can be rest assured that the peace of God and that the joy of God and that the love of God goes before you as you start your day. So that's my first point, right? Your vertical relationship with God is so important. Now, my second point. Next slide. Godly relationships are accountable. Godly relationships are accountable. You see, in the Old Testament, we know a lot of stories about all the heroes in the Old Testament, starting from Adam, Noah. We got Moses, we got Joshua, we got Caleb, we got all these great guys. But this morning, I want to talk to you about some of the unsung heroes in the Bible. This is a story about King Asa. Okay, a little bit of background of this guy. You see, in Israel, during King Solomon's reign, right? After his reign, his son took over. And during that period of time, there was a split. So the Israelites went their separate way. and King Solomon's son Rehoboam, he actually was a king of Judah. So all the other tribes of Israel went their own way, and Rehoboam, he remained as the king of Judah. So what happened is and the kings after him, right? They didn't do things of God. So King Asa, he was a third king of Judah, right? He was a direct descendant of King David. Now this guy, he changes the history and the future of the people of Judah. He takes a stand, right? And the story of King Asa is found in 2 Kings chapter 15 and also in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 to 16. You can read this about the story of King Asa. But there were many times when the people of Israel went astray. We know in the Old Testament, many times they moved out from God and they fell. You know, it was not a straight journey. Now, Asa's father and grandfather, who were kings before him, were idol worshippers. They forgot who their true God was, the God who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. Sometimes in life, we forget as well. We forget the goodness of God in our lives, right? And they allowed all kinds of evil and detestable practices to go on in the land of Judah. The sins that they committed stirred up God's anger. God was not happy, you see, because they had disobeyed what God wanted them to do. They were worshipping idols. There was idol worship going on there. And Asa's grandmother, okay, this is another person who was very influential. She is the queen mother of Judah, and she was very influential in idol worship. She heavily influenced the people. So when Asa began his reign, he was a young king. He began his reign by removing his grandmother from a position. He removed her. He eliminated that thing from his life. He then goes on to destroy the idols, the images that she had raised. He destroys the idols that his forefathers had worshipped. He drives out the Sodomites from his land as they were also influencing the people of Judah in evil practices. You see, as king of Judah, he took accountability for the evil things going on in his country. He acted upon it by putting a stop to all the wicked practices. He affirmed his love and his commitment for God, even if it meant going against his family. He removed his grandmother straight away, right? He had the guts to take a stand. Now, the result of Asa's reforms, he reestablished God's relationship with the people of Judah. Because he took a stand, he not only affirmed his commitment and his love for God, he reestablished God's relationship with the people of Judah. And there was a trend that followed after this. You see, the four kings after King Asa, the four kings that came after him did follow his trend. You know, they followed in his footsteps. So he changed both the history and the future of the people of Judah. Why? Because he took accountability with God. He got rid of the things that would destabilize him, that would destabilize his relationship with God. How can we ensure that being accountable to God in our relationships today? You know, in your marriage, your relationship with your husband or your wife, you need to take a stand against things like adultery. You need to take a stand against pornography. You know, eliminate those things from your lives. There are a lot of influences the world can draw you away. It can come into your life. The enemy can seep into your lives. You know, speak kindly to each other as husband and wife. Not take the other person for granted. These things are important. In your relationship at work with your colleagues, we know at work a lot of backbiting, a lot of gossip. There are corrupt practices as well that go along in work. We need to take a stand against these things as Christians, as children of God. Relationships at school or uni. You know, your mates tell you, mate, let's go out and have a couple of beers. It's all fine, yes, one or two. What happens when two become four? Four become eight? Eight become 12? What happens after that? You know, or, yeah, you're going to go clubbing tonight. Hey, pop this pill. You know, you'll have the stamina to dance all night long. Set the dance floor on fire. You know what? You're going to end up getting burnt. We got to be careful. There are a lot of influences in this world. A lot of things that are going to draw us away from God and contaminate our lives. Just like what I demonstrated, right? So it's important. We got to know where we stand with God, and we got to start taking accountability for all the other relationships around us. We got to start taking accountability for all the other relationships around us. You see, when you put God first, everything else flows out from our lives. Now, we'll go to the next slide. Godly relationships are intentional. Godly relationships are intentional. Now, what does intentional mean? On purpose. It means a deliberate action that you take. You want to do something. Okay? Now, talking about this story of the fish tank, right? So, I needed a fish tank for the demonstration this morning. So, where do you actually go? You go on Gumtree, right? Where you need something, you need stuff, you get it for cheap. And yeah, that's where I usually go for my cheap stuff and something that I need and a quick fix for. See, the only thing was I had to drive all the way up north to go and get this fish tank. So we live in Canningville, so I had to drive all the way up north to Queens Beach. That's like about an hour's drive. So this was quite cheap, actually. So at first I was like, man, this is going to be a long ride up north for a fish tank, but, you know. So what I did was I told Sheila, hey, why don't you come with me? You know, I'm going to drive up north to Queens Beach and go pick up this fish tank. She said, how far is that? So I was like, it's about an hour away from us. She said, oh, no. You know, we got a lot of things to do at home and stuff. Then I sort of just urged her a little bit more. I said, look, forget about that stuff. Let's just chuck the boys in the back of the car and let's drive up north. So that's what we ended up doing. We chucked the boys in the back of the car, and we drove up north. And it was not too bad because the boys, right, they were enjoying the drive. They were looking out the window. They were doing their own thing at the back. So this actually gave Sheila and I some time to connect with each other to start talking. And we realized we started talking to each other. And then my sentimental side came out. I put on a CD. You know, turned out to be some songs that actually brought us back to the early days of our courtship, you know. The memory started flowing back, and it was kind of lovey-dovey in there. We were just soaking up the moment on the freeway up north, going up north. And God was good. He kept the boys quiet. They were not making much noise. Usually when we drive to church, right, they are at each other's throats at the back. We got to distract them with something, but they were pretty good this time. So I guess there was God-appointed time. Like, you need to be intentional with your wife. You need to spend time with Sheila, you know, amongst all the other things that are going on in your life. So yes, we did that, and it was good. It was good to connect. So we need to be intentional in our actions with others, right? We need to make things happen in a relationship. If you want something, you got to go for it. If you're not spending enough time with your partner or your wife, you need to invest that time. If you're not spending enough time with a good friend of yours, you've not connected with someone, you need to be intentional about it. You need to make it happen. Now, I'm just going to push this a little bit further, okay? How can we be intentional in a relationship when conflict arises? It's all good, relationships. What happens when conflict arises? Remember that storm picture I showed you? How do you respond? How do you respond in a relationship when conflicts happen? You see, when we fail to get along with each other as we should, when problems go unresolved and tensions mount, when we're not sensitive to each other's needs, or when other people don't see things our way, relationships are not always an easy thing. Like I said, you know, it's complex. So back to my line of work. You see, my line of work is 25 people working on the ship, right? You're seeing the same face day in, day out. You're working with the same blokes, you know, and it's sort of like an own island on its own, you know, with just like small community there. And it's like being in a box, you know, with 25 people. I do a 7-week on, 7-week off swing. So it's like being in a box with all these people, and sometimes it gets to you. You just imagine, you know, people in your face. And some of them are difficult personalities as well. Not everybody is going to be, hey, mate, how are you this morning? You know, some of them are difficult personalities as well. So in my line of work, you know, I've seen a lot of conflicts. I've seen a lot of shouting matches out at sea. And the more senior you get in your rank, the more involved you get with resolving conflict. See, one day I finished my duty at 4 o'clock in the morning. I came down to the galley. I wanted to get myself, just have something to eat before I went to bed. So 4 a.m., I'm going down to the galley, and I saw these two cooks. This is not in Australia. This is before I came to Australia. I saw these two cooks, right? These two guys were at each other with knives. They just started to draw their knives out. So fortunately for me, I was a bit of a bigger bloke, okay? These guys were slightly shorter than me, slightly smaller built. So I managed to push my way in between and take one of the guys out and stop that conflict. But it can get sometimes like that, you know. It's interesting. So conflicts, you know, I've seen it. I've seen it out at sea. Now, when conflicts arise in a relationship, you need to get together with that person and resolve the conflict. You need to get together with that person and resolve the conflict. See, I've seen far too many unresolved conflicts at sea that are just being left unattended. You know, people don't attend to it, and it spills over into other operational activities. It's going to affect the morale of the crew. You know, it's going to affect the morale of the personnel on board. So the bottom line is, when conflicts arise, you need to be intentional in resolving the matter. Take the bull by the horns and speak to the person about it. It is our godly duty. I'm going to share with you some biblical strategies on how you can do that. You see, Ephesians 4:25 says, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we all are members of one body." Set up a meeting. Set up a meeting with that person. The Bible says it. Speak truthfully to your neighbor. You know, pray before you go. Pray before you go into that meeting. Allow God to intervene as well. Now, when you meet the person, effective communication is the key. Effective communication. Don't just hear them, but listen. Sometimes, right, when people are talking to you, you get distracted. Your mind tends to wander off. I do that sometimes. It's not good. When you talk to a person or when someone is talking to you, be engaged. Give the person your full attention. You know, it's easy for us to let distractions to come in, but you want to be authentic with people as well. Now, we go on to see the next slide, Ephesians 4:29. "Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." You see, try not to spend too much time talking about the past. Yes, the conflict has happened, the problem has taken place, but how are we going to move forward? How do we find a solution? How do we or a positive outcome to the conflict? We go on to see Ephesians 4:31. The next thing: "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." You know, when we have these things in our heart, how are we going to go and resolve a conflict? You know, don't be too emotional. Allow the feelings mentioned, and those feelings mentioned right in that verse, to cloud your judgment of the other person. Do not allow that to cloud your judgment. Remember, you are there to solve the matter. You're there to solve the conflict. And lastly, Ephesians 4:32. "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave." Show the love and compassion of Christ to the other person. You see, what if you've done all those steps, but no resolve? The person is still being difficult. What do you do then? You just got to pray to God and say, "God, I've tried my best. I've been obedient to your word. I've been obedient. I've, you know, put all my pride down. I've gone to meet this brother or sister. And God, I just pray that you intervene in their life and you will make things work." Sometimes time, it takes time for things to heal as well. It doesn't happen straight away. So as long as you do what is obedient, what God wants you to do to resolve the conflict. Right. My last point, okay, go to the next slide. Godly relationships are built on love. Godly relationships are built on love. This is the essence of it all. This is the essence of a godly relationship. It is built on love, right? I'm just going to read from 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. "If I speak in tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am nothing. I'm nothing, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. How true is that? You can do all these great things in your life. You can be a great scholar. You can be a great sportsman. You can give to the poor. You can do all these good deeds, all well and good. That's great. But if you do not have love in your lives, if you do not have that love of God in your life, it amounts to naught. It amounts to zero. It amounts to nothing. This is the most important principle. Godly relationships are built on love. Now, what is love? What is this love that we're talking about? How do we define love? The Bible gives the perfect definition of what love is in 1 Corinthians 13:4. You go on to read. Now, this is what the Bible says love is. I know we hear this verse, 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. We hear it a lot at marriages about what its love is, but you really need to think about it. I'm just going to say it out. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Okay? Yes, I know that is a long list of items to be in compliance with. It's a long list, okay? It's not easy to do this. All of us, I don't think anyone here can turn around and say, yes, I do all these 15 items. You know, we get caught out every day. But what you can do, I think this is a good strategy, right? It's a good plan. What you can do is go back home, right? Write all these 15 items down, put it on the fridge. Put it in a fridge or put it in some place where you can see it. And have a look and see, you know, examine and evaluate yourself. Lamentations 3:40 says that the word of God tells us to search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Search out, examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. You see, examine and evaluate yourselves. I found this quite good for me as well, because when I put it on the fridge and sometimes, you know, when I get angry with the kids or whatever, right, I looked at that and I was like, yeah, love does not easily get, you know, it's not easily angered. See, you got to be patient. You got to look at these things. So I challenge you this week, be intentional as you do this. Go back home, write down this list of 15 items, put it on your fridge or wherever it is, and keep reminding yourself of what love is. You see, you need to be intentional because you're honoring God by being obedient to His Word. You are honoring God by being obedient to what the Bible says, by His Word. Right. Let's go on to the last slide. Now, I'll just summarize this again, what I said, the 4 points. Your vertical relationship with God, your upward relationship with God determines the outcome of your horizontal relationships with others, your outward relationship with others. What you fill into your lives will have an impact on the relationship with others, just like what we saw. What you fill your life with, the good stuff. Allow God to fill your lives with His goodness. Okay? My second point, godly relationships are accountable. You need to be strong in your walk. You need to develop that heart of obedience and to develop those strategies that will keep you in line with God so that you can take a stand against the sinful influences of the world. Godly relationships are intentional. You have to be actively involved in your relationships with others and be intentional on resolving any conflict that arises. Actively involved. Be intentional. And godly relationships are built on love. When you have the love of God in your lives, then you can love others effectively. You know, think about this stuff. Think about what I've said. Reflect on it in the week as you go out of here, as you go out of church. And like I said, those 15 items from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8, write it down, have a look at it, and see how you can build godly relationships with people around you, with people in your family, in line with loving God, in line with honoring God, and being obedient to His Word. Amen. Let's bow down our head in prayer. Father, I just come before You this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord Father, I thank You for Your Word, O Lord Jesus. I pray a lot, Father, that this word goes out a lot, Father, and that we will think a lot, Jesus, about our actions, Lord God, about how we live our lives, Lord Father. Are we actually living our best lives, Lord God? And I pray a lot, Father, that we use your biblical principles, Lord Father, your strategies, Lord Father, that you have for us, Lord, in your word, to live our best lives, Lord Father, because what we fill ourselves up with is going to affect the people around us, Lord Jesus. So I pray, Lord Father, on everyone gathered here this morning, Lord, I pray, Lord Father, that your influence, Lord Father, the Spirit of God goes before them as they go out into the week, O Lord Jesus, ahead, that the love of God goes with them, O Lord Jesus. We just thank you, Father. We praise your name, Lord God. We commit this time, we commit this day into the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.